This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi, folks. This is Bob Main. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to a middle of the week episode of your Handgun World podcast. Normally, Ben Branham, my co-host, does the middle of the week, but he's pretty busy right now, so I'm filling in for him. Ben is my guest on next week's show. We did an interview recently on a pretty good topic. I'll just kind of keep it secret for now, but you'll enjoy it. It'll come out next Sunday, as it normally, my show normally releases on Sunday afternoons, the regularly scheduled weekly podcast. So this episode, I want to kind of do a holster review. One has been sent to me that I think is a terrific holster. There's so many different ways to carry a gun, isn't there? I mean, wow! This is like the, not only is this the golden age of gun making, but it seems like it's also the golden age of holster making. So many good ones out there. Anyway, I am in the Handgun World Mobile Studio. I am heading down to Corpus Christi, Texas for a quick business trip. So while I have a little bit of windshield time here, I figured that I would talk to you about guns because, folks, that's what I like. And that's kind of my passion. I am a part-time firearms instructor. But my background really began as an everyday guy just doing a podcast talking about what he loves, which is shooting and firearms and concealed carry. And that's who I am. So the holster review is going to be on the High Noon Holsters Double Jeopardy. Pretty cool. It's sort of like, it's got the same style as a hybrid holster, but it's not. It's all leather. And it is very, very well done. And I'm going to talk about some things on it. You know, in full disclosure, High Noon Holsters sent me this gun. Yeah, that'd be nice if somebody would send me a gun. They sent me this holster. They sent it to me several weeks ago, and I'm sorry I didn't get to it sooner. Mike and Alex over there, I'm sorry I didn't get to it sooner, but here we go. I'm giving you the review that I promised. And by the way, when people send me products for review, I use them first, and I normally use them for a while. I've used this one for a couple of weeks. I feel I can't give a good, honest review unless I either own the product or have used it. So that's why I told them to be patient with me before I got this review out, because I had to use it. So I did. So I'll be talking about that. However, let me address some listener voicemails real quick. A couple of good voicemails have come in from some listeners. So let's start with the first one.
Hi, Bob. Steve in Iowa. Love your show. Appreciate all the work you put into both your podcasts. Question for you on some of the bulk 223 ammunition that's available, specifically the Wolf Tula and the Brown Silver and Golden Bear. Tough to come by and pricey for the brand name ammo, and curious on your thoughts on some of the bulk ammo that's a little more reasonably priced up there, having been a relative new comer to the AR arena. Lots of opinions out there, and they differ greatly on whether or not this ammo is good or bad for your gun, et cetera, et cetera. So any insight you can provide would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. Very good question and very good topic. As a matter of fact, you might have given me a topic idea for a future show, and that is talking about bulk ammo and bulk buys. So let's talk about Tula ammo and Wolf, Brown Bear, the typical steel case stuff. I shoot it through my Glocks all the time, no problem. Even my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield, no problem. Car PM9, no problem. If you maintain your guns well and you lube them like they're supposed to be lubed, and you have a quality firearm that the manufacturer hasn't screwed up for some reason, it should be able to feed that ammo, and you should have no problem with it. And you know what? I think it's a lot more accurate than people give it credit for. Those rounds. Just recently, Ben Branham and I were zeroing my AR-15, the SIG M400 with my optic on it. And it wasn't zeroed, so we were at the range filming some stuff for our Shooters Club. membership, and we zeroed it out. And I zeroed it out with that cheap Tula stuff, the cheap steel-cased Tula 223. That's what I was using to get my zero. Now, you know, I wasn't using premium ammo to get my zero, and some people might say, well, you know, geez, Bob, it's going to be a little bit different zeroing it with the steel case than with the premium. Yeah, I get that. I just wanted to get an initial zero on it. And, you know, I might get some premium stuff and zero it with that, like maybe some match grade. But, you know, all the ammo shoots a little bit differently. So, hey, you know what? If it's a half-inch difference because of my ammo, I don't care too much about a half-inch. I really don't. The purpose of my defensive rifles are primarily going to be 50 to 100 yards, and I'm going to be trying to hit a man-sized target at 50 to 100 yards. I'm not going to try to be shooting a button off of his shirt at 100 yards. I mean, first of all, gang, I got to tell you what. I'm going to be real honest. I'm not good enough to shoot at a button on somebody's shirt at 100 yards away. All right, I'm not that good of a shooter. I'll go ahead and I'll admit that publicly right now. I wish I was, and I'm working on it, but I'm not that good of a shooter. So, you know what? If I'm a little bit off by a half inch or an inch because of the ammo, no big deal. As far as for pistols, you know, I think it's fine. If you can get a good deal on Tula or Wolf, Brown Bear, all those you know, surplus type ammos, get them, buy them. It's good stuff. Is it going to ruin your gun? Gee, I don't know. You know, here's what I can tell you. I'll give you my experience. You'll probably have to figure it out on your own. I've run Tula 45 through my Ruger 1911. No problems. None whatsoever. I've run tens of thousands of rounds of Tula and Wolf 9mm through my Glocks. No problem. I think I may have had a couple of light primer strikes, or maybe the primers were too hard. It probably wasn't a light primer strike. The primer just probably wasn't right. I've had a little bit of that stuff, but that's it, you know, and that was a good chance for me to practice clearing malfunctions. I wouldn't use this ammo as defensive or carry ammo. I would upgrade a little bit. If you're gonna load your AR or your AK with defensive ammo, well, maybe I better put a disclaimer on AKs. I mean, hey, you know, buy that Wolf hollow point stuff for your AK, 7.62x39. I mean, that's good stuff. And you know what? AKs are designed to shoot that stuff. They're designed to shoot that Russian steel case ammo. So go for it. With your AR-15, with mine, I use a little bit better grade ammo for defensive, but I shoot the cheap stuff all the time. I have not noticed any challenges, any problems with my gun due to that steel case ammo. So I say go for it. Pistols or rifles, I say go for it. That's been my experience. You can get good deals on it, and I don't see any problem with it. Okay, let's take the next voicemail.
Hello, Bob. This is George calling from Virginia. I wanted to make a comment, please, on your show about traveling with guns. And you discussed this. I'm not quite sure it was abundantly clear. But please pass on to your listeners that they should not, that is not, try to carry on any empty magazines or any other, quote, gun parts. Trust me on that. So if found, those are considered gun parts, even if they're empty. And, you know, they'll make a big fuss. They will notify law enforcement. Law enforcement will probably, it's not illegal to have them, and you're not presenting a weapon. So check those, anything that is a gun part, particularly a magazine, should be checked in your checked baggage. I just want to make sure nobody else learns the hard way that it is otherwise. Ammunition, you mentioned a couple of magazines, et cetera. Check with each airline. Some airlines limit severely the amount of ammunition you can bring on board, checking that is. So anyway, good show, good topic, but I just wanted to make sure it was abundantly clear to people that do not try to carry on anything that can be considered a gun part, and an empty magazine is considered a gun part. So, great. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, thank you, George. Looks like you did a great job there of making that abundantly clear. So, no gun parts. Don't carry them on. And I told you the story. I have experience with accidentally putting a Glock 19 magazine in my backpack and tried to carry it on an airplane. That didn't go well. I've told that story a few times, so you can go back to past episodes and listen. So, good point, George. No gun parts being carried on when you're flying with a handgun. Everything in the checked bags. Very true, George, about the fact that every airline limits ammunition differently. The best thing is just call your airline. You know, they're the ones making the rules. Call your airline. I mean, it's their planes. It's their planes you're flying on, so you're going to do it their way, pretty much. That's the way it is. They're kind of like the final say, you know, the airlines themselves. I tried to give you some guidelines to go by on that traveling with guns episode. You know, this is one of those subjects that there's a lot of misinformation put out there, but really the information varies so much. I mean, it's so different depending on what city you're going to, what airlines you're flying to, what connecting city that you're going through, where you're originating from. All that makes a huge difference. So you just have to do your homework and do your research. But don't be like some people. Don't, you know, have you ever noticed there's some people that are like cement? You know, they're thoroughly mixed up and firmly set. How many of you know somebody like that? They're like cement, thoroughly mixed up and firmly set in those ways. You know, so there's some people that are just real mixed up about this subject, and boy, but you're not changing their mind at all. You know, when it comes to guns, boy, they're thoroughly all mixed up. They don't know what they're talking about, but boy, they're really firmly set in their opinions. I'm not one of those people. If I'm wrong about something, I admit that I'm wrong about it, and I correct it. Or if there's information that I forgot to cover, I'm glad you guys are keeping me on the straight and narrow, and you're calling in voicemails or emails, and you're setting me straight on stuff. And I will correct myself and put it out there, or I'll put a voicemail like this from George to kind of re-clarify some things that I've said. So thank you very much, George. I appreciate that. All right, let's take a quick break. And I'll be back with the holster review that I wanted to cover.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and other listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit GunRightsRadio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership. GunRightsRadio.com.
All right, I'm back with you. Ben Branham and I are teaching a lot of cool classes throughout the rest of 2013. We just put up some new ones, some four-hour classes and some one-days for both handguns and rifles in different cities as well. Instead of going through the long list, just check them out. But there's five classes up on my website at handgunworld.com. Some of them are only four-hour training workshops. Some of them are full-day classes. Some of them are rifle classes. Some are handgun classes. They're in different cities. So check it out. Go to handgunworld.com. Go take a look at the menu there. Take a look at all the page links, and you'll see the all the details for all the classes that we are putting on. You might win one July 4th, because on July 4th I'm doing a drawing and giving away two classes to a member of our Shooters Club. So there'll be two winners of the training classes and another winner of 250 rounds of 9mm full metal jacket ammo. So check that out. If you're a member of the Shooters Club, and if you want to sign up for that, real easy to do. It helps support my show, because I don't have any paid sponsors on this show. Head on over to Shooters Club. You can go to shootersclubmembers.com, or you can just go straight to my website, handgunworld.com, and there's a Shooters Club page there. And you can even listen to a sample and watch a sample of what we have as content. A whole bunch of new stuff is going to be added very shortly. A lot of good stuff. Some of it is actually live video from the classes that we've taught. And by the way, thank you for all the support you folks have been giving me on Amazon. You know, whenever you buy something on Amazon, if you go to my page and buy it through my Amazon link, I get a little fee, and it helps me out. I earn a little bit of extra money, and it helps support the show. Thank you very much for doing that. Doesn't matter what you buy. Just use my Amazon store, and you'll see a link there in the menu for my Amazon store. All of that is at handgunworld.com. Just surf that front page, and you'll see everything you need to be able to sign up for stuff, support the show, or just simply download the podcast. Okay? And don't forget, Glenn Tate's book number 6 is out now. And you can look at my recommended books page, and you can buy Glenn Tate's book number 6. You know, I might need to get Glenn back on here and do an interview again one of these days. But we'll see how. Yeah, I'll reach out to him and make that happen. I'm sure he's got something to say. Okay, let's talk about the High Noon holsters, Double Jeopardy. I got to tell you, folks, this is the best holster that I think that High Noon Holsters has ever put out. I really believe that. I think this is the absolute best holster that they have put out. If you are a leather holster fan, this is the holster you really should strongly consider. And again, many thanks to the folks at High Noon Holsters. They sent this to me for testing and evaluation. And I'm also going to do a YouTube video on this. So about a week from now or so, check my YouTube channel. Search Handgun World on YouTube. Just search Handgun World Podcast. Or you can just go to youtube.com/Handgun World Podcast and go straight to it. And I'll be doing a YouTube video and putting a link on Facebook and on Gun Rights Radio Network and things like that. But you got to check this out. This is nice, nice holster. First of all, I'm going to tell you, it's not a cheap holster, but you really get what you pay for. Go over to High Noon Holsters website, and I'll put a link straight to the Double Jeopardy holster in the show notes, okay? But it is worth every dollar. I'm going to tell you why, okay? Now, it's all leather. Everything except the clips and the screws are all made out of leather. Several things I really, really like about this holster. First of all, it uses metal clips that are rounded nicely. They're kind of reverse J-hooks that are rounded real nicely, and they don't have any sharp edges on them. One of the criticisms I have about holsters with metal clips is that they have a lot of sharp edges. Congratulations, High Noon. You folks have done it right with the metal clips. There's no sharp edges. It's rounded nicely, and it's smooth. This is an inside-the-waistband holster, and the one they sent me is for my Glock 19. So I thought, all right, let me try this, and I wore it. I've worn this for 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. And as a matter of fact, I was using it when I was with Ben Branham at the range about a week and a half ago when we were doing some filming. So for those of you who are members of the Shooters Club, when you look at the most recent videos and you'll see me drawing my Glock 19, I am drawing it out of the High Noon Holsters Double Jeopardy holster. It's a quick draw. It's not as fast as the Kydex holsters. So it's not as fast as the Concealment Solutions half Kydex and half leather. The leather is just a tad bit slower, but I don't think this holster is fully broken in yet. When it's fully broken in, it probably will be just as quick. All right? But it's not fully broken in. But when I got it, it was rather stiff. But that's typical. You know, leather takes some wear and some use to break in, and that's what I like about this. What I like about this all-leather holster is it conformed to my body. In a matter of 2 weeks, this thing has adopted the shape of the side of my body very well. It does a great job of doing that, of adopting to the side, to the shape of my body. It's so comfortable, folks. And the only reason why I can think of that it's so comfortable is because it's conformed to my body. Now, the clips are adjustable. You can adjust the ride height and the cant. It's real easy. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. There are six holes on one side and 7 on the other. There's 6 holes on one side of the holster and 7 on the other that you can use to adjust and place the clip anywhere that you want to make it ride at a certain height, a certain angle, certain cant, whatever you want to do. It's got a tension adjustment screw on it, so you can adjust the tension on your pistol. So I loosened it up a little bit, and once it's broken in, I might be able to tighten it a little bit. But it's got great retention. That's one thing I like. When you put this pistol in the holster and then you put it your belt around it, between the holster and the belt, boy, it's got great retention. I can't imagine anything that I would do physically that would cause this holster to cause my pistol to come out of this holster. And that's important. Retention's important. I cannot imagine anything that I would do that would cause this to come out. Let's talk about concealability. It conceals just like the hybrid holsters out there, just like the Crossbreeds and the Concealment Solutions and the CompTac MTax. It conceals just as well as all of those because the design. Go look at the picture of it. When I put a link to it in the show notes at handgunworld.com or on the Gun Rights Radio Network, go take a look at it. Another thing I like is the way that they have cut the top of this holster. You can get a really nice combat firing grip on the pistol right away. It's really easy to get a good combat grip on the pistol and just draw that thing out with a full firing grip. You're ready to go. That's what I like. Also, the sweat guard. They've got a lot of leather between your body and the slide, and also it creates enough of a gap that the pistol's grip is not going to dig into your skin. I wore this without an undershirt for about 4 days. One of the ways I like to test a holster is I wear it inside the waistband without an undershirt. Why? Well, the reason that, well, number one, it's in the high 90s in San Antonio already, so wearing an undershirt is less comfortable. I mean, wearing an undershirt's less comfortable. Taking it off is more comfortable. But I also do that to see if the texture on my fourth generation Glocks is going to rub my skin. Well, what's nice about this Double Jeopardy holster is that it creates enough space between my skin and the gun. It doesn't rub so bad. Now, also, you know, Glock's texturing on the Gen 4s is not nearly as aggressive as the old RTF finish, RTF texture that they used to put on. So, but anyway, it's a benefit that it holds it far enough away but yet conceals it. I wore this holster to business appointments. I wore this holster out to the grocery store. I drove 5 hours in my car last week, 5 hours each way, and I wore this holster behind my right hip at about 3:30 position in my Honda, the Handgun World Mobile Studio, and very comfy, no problem. One thing I like, High Noon's done a great job of making the holster stay up. In other words, when I put this holster, let's try to describe this the best I can on an audio podcast. It's hard doing this by audio. Watch the video that I do once it's up. You should be following my YouTube channel. If you're not following my YouTube channel, please go over there, youtube.com/handgunworldpodcast, and follow it, please. And you can see some of my video follow-ups to some of my podcasts. When I put this holster on, okay, it doesn't move from that spot whatsoever. The weight of the gun does not make it drop. You know how sometimes when you got a heavy gun and you put it into a holster, even when you cinch up your belt tight, it starts to sag after a while, right? You walk around for a while and it starts to sag, and you have to keep pulling up that part of your pants. Kind of frustrating. I think it's something in the way that they've built this holster that keeps it in the same exact spot. It never moves. What they've got, the leather that touches your body, they use the rough side of the leather on the outside, on the inside of the gun. On the inside of the holster. So the rough leather is on the inside of the holster up against your body, but it doesn't feel rough. It feels good. It doesn't feel rough, but it seems to keep the pistol in place. When I used an undershirt, it was even better. It's kind of like the rough edge of the the rough side of the leather combined with my undershirt just really absolutely kept it stable. Even without an undershirt, it kept it real stable, but even better with the undershirt. So I like that. You'll see the picture. You'll see what I mean in the picture. I have the all black. I have the all black, which I really like. I like it better than their... I like the looks of it better than their tan colored. But they make it in tan or they make it in all black. Black gun, black pistol seems to blend in well. But I really like that design of putting the rougher texture of the leather to the inside of your body, but it's not so rough that it's not at all irritating. And also, it seems to use your clothing, if you're wearing an undershirt, to help keep the pistol stable. So that, combined with the fact that it conforms, it just wraps right around your body to hide the gun and make it comfortable, and then that aids in concealment. I mean, I had a T-shirt on. I had a T-shirt, Glock 19, and High Noon Holsters Double Jeopardy for 2.5 days. Now, I didn't wear the same T-shirt for 2.5 days. Don't worry. I wasn't walking around all smelly because I had the same T-shirt in the 96-degree weather. It was a T-shirt. I used three different T-shirts, okay, because I was sweating a little bit. But, hey, and that's the other thing, too. It seems like this holster repels sweat. For some reason, the sweat doesn't bother it at all. I don't know how they do that with a leather holster. I thought the leather would absorb the sweat, but it didn't. So, that's another good thing. And then, of course, that's why I like to wear those real light wife beater undershirts. That's why I like to wear those really lightweight Fruit of the Loom, you know, barely a piece of material undershirts. Because it helps absorb the sweat, and I don't get sweat stains all over my shirt. But for those of you who live in hot weather, you're going, oh, man, gee, Bob, I don't know if I could carry a Glock 19 and a big High Noon holsters like that in the hot weather. Baloney. I live in South Texas. I live in San Antonio, the Alamo City. It gets hot here. It gets fairly humid. We've had a lot of rain so far this year, so the humidity level's way up. I don't have any problem with it. No big deal. Okay, you get used to it. Trust me, good holster, good belt, you get used to it. And speaking of belts, High Noon Holsters makes very good belts. For the past couple weeks, I was using my sturdy belt when I was making business calls. And I was using my Python gun belt that I got from Jason at Concealment Solutions when I was going casual. So, back to the High Noon Holsters Double Jeopardy. I mentioned the clips. Very, very well done. And by the way, this holster is not easy to take on and off, which I think is a good thing. But you got to work at it, folks. You got to work at it when you put it on and off. It's not easy. Shouldn't be. I don't think the holster should pop on and off real easily. I think that could be a problem. While I've been teaching classes, I've literally seen people draw their gun and draw the gun and the holster out with it. It's happened more than once. Okay, I was watching the shooter, and when I gave him the fight command and asked him to start the drill, he went for his gun. It was a nice draw, a nice quick draw, and he presented both the gun and the holster to the target. Okay, that's why you want something that's going to have clips that keep it right where it's at. If it's a real life and death situation, you don't want to be presenting the bad guy with your gun with the holster coming out at the same time. Vitally important. Now, there's a feature that High Noon uses that I really like. On the inside of the holster, where your sights go, they put a plastic sight channel in there. And they I don't know if it's glued or stitched in. I don't know how they keep it in there. It looks like it's probably stitched in. All I know is it stays there. There's a sight channel. So no matter what sight you're using, if you're using tall sights or big night sights, I'm using these speed sights that I still like. I just can't recommend doing business with the guy. But I have my Glock 19 with a set of speed sights, and it's a big front sight. Okay, it's pretty large, and they're tall. And the rear sights are tall. No problem. No problem, because they have a wonderful sight channel built right into the holster. So if you're going to use this and you're going to go compete in IDPA with it, for example, and you're using tall sights with fiber optic inserts, you won't have any problem. None whatsoever. So that part of it's well thought out. Most of the Kydex holster manufacturers do that too. They shape the Kydex in such a way so that where the sights are, you've got a pretty tall channel in there so that you're not ripping up your sights when you're drawing from the holster. So good job on that, High Noon. This thing oozes quality. When I first pulled this thing out of the bag, I went, oh, wow, this thing is going to last 20 years. I mean, everything is double-stitched. Everything is double-stitched. It's great. I mean, it's got a reinforced opening. It's got a reinforced top. So when you draw your pistol, it's one of those leather holsters that stays open. I like that. It makes it easier to reholster. I really think a good concealed carry holster needs to stay open after you draw it. I don't like the soft leather holsters that will close right up after you draw your pistol. Okay, a good example is one-handed manipulations. If you're in a fight and you've got to if you have to reload or clear a malfunction one-handed, what's really nice is one method to do, thank you, John Neusser, by the way, he put this on Facebook. One way to do that is when your gun is out of ammo, put the gun back into your holster, and then with one hand, insert a fresh magazine, then take it out of the holster and rack the slide off of the edge of your holster. Okay? And it's, like I said, hard to talk about that on a audio podcast. If you're a member of our Shooters Club, you're going to see it. But that's important. That's one reason why it's important to have a holster that stays open when you draw. Reholstering, doing one-handed manipulations, which you should know how to do, and all that, very important. High Noon has also done a very good job. When they made this holster, they molded it perfectly to the Glock 19. So you can even see it. You know, when with no gun in it, you can see the imprint of the Glock 19 in the leather. Very, very well done. High quality stuff. At first, I got to say, when I looked at this, I thought, ooh, that's going to be too thick. Way too thick. I thought, that's going to be way too thick. It's going to be bulky, uncomfortable. And I was wrong. I was wrong. It's not too thick and bulky and uncomfortable. It's thick for a reason. You want durability and you want functionality. But it's not uncomfortable. Leather does take a while to break in. Now, one nice thing about the hybrid holsters out there being made by other manufacturers that have the Kydex on the outside and either horsehide or cowhide on the inside, it's a real thin piece of cowhide or horsehide, and that breaks in pretty easily. This product by High Noon is going to take probably a little bit longer to break in. It took probably a good 4 or 5 days to start getting comfy, and by the end of the 2 weeks, wow, it was nice. It was real nice. And because of the way that it supports the weight of the gun, the way that it's set up, it made my Glock 19 feel lighter. I mean, the Glock 19 is a pretty light pistol anyway, but this made it feel even lighter. It's what I like. And I'm pretty sure I could put, I haven't tried it, I'm pretty sure I could put my Glock 17 in here as well. Maybe. Maybe not. I got to check. The bottom of the holster is open. So it looks like some extra barrel length could stick through there, but I'm not so sure about that because the sight channel might cause a problem because the G17 sights might protrude. I'm going to test that. I'm going to test that, and I'm going to say something about it in next week's show. So, sorry I didn't test it with my Glock 19 or with my Glock 17 for this review. However, I don't see any reason why I couldn't put my Glock 26 in there, because it's shorter, so that should work out pretty well. Well, let's see. What else do I want to say about this fine holster? They use excellent screws on here. Everything is comfortable. There's nothing, the way this is designed, there's nothing about this holster that makes it uncomfortable when it's on your body. And that's the most important thing, is the level of comfort. High Noon, you hit a huge home run with this holster, I think. I think you hit a massive home run. Thank you very much. Thank you for sending this to me. It's going to be in my rotation of carry holsters. And, I have a rotation of holsters, folks, and that's good. You know, people make fun of others with a box full of holsters. Hey, I got a box full of holsters, and I use 90% of them. I do. There's different situations. You know, I might be dressed differently or going to a different place, carrying a different gun, or just for the purpose of change, I want to do something different. So I use a lot of different methods. You know, today while I'm driving, talking to you, my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield is in a Remora holster appendix carry. And, I've had this High Noon holsters by this Double Jeopardy by High Noon just sitting here right next to me in the passenger seat. And I've just been, you know, holding it up with my right hand and glancing at it and things like that as I've been looking at it doing the review. But I think on the ride home, after I get done doing my business calls, I'm going to find a restroom to go into and change and put on the High Noon Double Jeopardy and the Glock 19 and wear that on the trip home. I think I forgot to mention this. Driving is real comfortable with this holster. I think maybe I did mention that. Driving's real comfortable with this. And, you know, you could adjust this. I see no reason why you couldn't adjust this to, if you don't like the cant that it comes with, I see no reason why you can't make it a straight drop or cant it up even more towards 15, 30 degrees. However you want to adjust it to make it comfortable for driving, I see no reason why you couldn't. The way it came to me from High Noon was just perfect for me. So anyway, in closing, this is what I mean when I say if you have a good holster and a good belt, carrying a decent-sized gun is not much of a problem. Glock calls a 19 a compact gun. I call it a decent-sized gun. It's small enough to carry, big enough to fight with. That's what I like about it. Small enough to conceal easily and big enough to fight with. 16 rounds of 9mm in an easy-to-shoot package, very accurate, very reliable. What's not to like, especially the fourth generation, where you can make it fit your hand size, what's not to like? Concealable in a nice holster like this one, with good belts, no reason you just can't carry a gun like this, okay? So, once again, High Noon Holsters, Double Jeopardy. I am going to put a link so you can go straight to it and take a look at it. Make your purchase. If you make your purchase because of what you heard on this show, please tell the High Noon Holsters folks about that, okay? Please tell them that you heard it on the Handgun World podcast so that they keep sending me cool stuff to review, okay? With that said, thanks for listening to another episode. A middle-of-the-week episode, actually, of the Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears, or the two loudest sounds that a shooter hears, is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. Goodbye.